Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 220. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Just strangely, I feel like Hammy on Tales from the Riverbank.
God, you have so many esoteric references. And our pal Graham is in a car heading up north, or maybe he's already up there. I don't know. What do you think? He's probably up there, right?
This guy sees more art and crafts fairs than anybody I know. So,
you know, his wife must be making a fortune doing this.
I sure hope
things.
She is. What does she do? What does she sell? Do you know? Does she make something?
Or crafts. I have no idea.
I don't know.
They're probably little trolls for the garden.
We really ought to know more about each other, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, we could. You know, that was fun when you organized the get together.
Yeah, without me, this place is just a mess.
You're social. We're all all have autism, so we're way too high on the autism spectrum. So, well, okay. So the big Minnesota story is Spark. Oh my God, raising $567,000.
Yeah, we talked about that last. They had like 9 hours to go, and they were 536 or something like that. So they had a good, nice last push. And,
yeah,
that's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Well, I'm pretty impressed. That was great.
Me
and
too.
And for those, we'll put a link in the show notes to it. And as we mentioned before, go and watch the video because it's a great vision.
It's a wonderful thing.
So. Yeah.
And Tim always on the lookout for information about the retail industry because we have Best Buy and Target in town. So that's. There's never any shortage of what's going on at Best Buy and Target. So, Tim, yeah. I noticed you put a link in there and as far as increasing, basically stories, both stories about increasing foot traffic.
Yeah. Well, both stories kind of looked at Best Buy and Target as using digital or the internet to bring people into their stores. In the case of Best Buy, it's bestbuy.com, and in the case of Target, it's their new app mm-hmm. that they've just released. So they're both companies are being very active, online with the stores, and that's helping. It's actually changing customer behavior, which is good. So that can only be good for both companies as they move forward.
Well, I was impressed. Go ahead, Phil.
Sorry. No, Steve, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was really impressed with what Best Buy is doing because absolutely tying the store to the e-commerce and doing so in a way that is not just sort of haphazard, but truly, drives an experience. And, oh boy, I can go pick it up right now in Richfield is real, I think, really key. But more importantly, in this article, they talked about how they don't really have the opportunity to do any upsells or for the customer to buy additional product. And of course, every core product you buy has accessories. You buy an iPad, it has cases and plugs and all that other high margin product. And but it said that they are going to fix that.
Yeah, I find that interesting because I think that's one of those consumer benefits. That's a customer benefit that is considered, a retailer weakness. So, because I like the fact that you don't get, hey, do you want a service agreement with that? Do you need some, some earbuds with that? So,
yeah, but I know I hate upsells. More importantly, I hate needing an HDMI cable and walking in there and it's, $32 for a 6-foot HDMI cable.
Yeah. And then do you need fries with that, sir?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No kidding. Oh man.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's clearly, there is a great margin in those small, last minute upgrades. Well, upsells.
Yeah. And then the CFO said 40% of online buyers pick up purchases in stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the shipping's free. So instead of that's their way to combat Amazon.
Yep.
Although if you buy $25 at Amazon, you get shipping free too. So.
Right.
Well, and then the institution of sales tax in when Tim, July 7th,
something like that.
Starts?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's coming up.
So this month. that's going to really help them too in terms of driving sales into the stores.
Well, it'll certainly equalize one of the advantages that Amazon's had, but Amazon still has the advantage in price, so they're going to have to also address that. But one of the things that Best Buy does a decent job of is they have good closeout specials on their online store, and so if you get onto those quick enough, you can just have them shipped to your local Best Buy and go pick them up, and that that's a way to find really good deals online, but not have it shipped to your house, have it just available for pickup. And then once they have you in the store, of course, they've got an opportunity to maybe sell you some other stuff.
Well, and I got to tell you guys that this Target app is brilliant, because Target is the main aisle through a Target store is called
Gauntlet. That's what
not the runway, speedway or something. But anyway, it's the main track through the store. And one of the things that Target did is they discovered that most shoppers weren't going up and down the aisles. So they moved the clearance items from the end cap on that main aisle to the end cap behind on the back aisle. So people would walk the back aisle and go up and down to look at clearance items. And obviously that would drive more sales. Well, this app encourages you to choose your store and then create an account. And they'll have free Wi-Fi in the stores, which means if you launch the app in the store, then and you have an account, they're going to know who you are. And they're going to know what you do and what you buy. And I'm sure they'll tie the app in some way into the checkout process. And so, boy, are they going to know a lot about shoppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this add scanning capability, so
precisely.
You can do your own checkout, and then somehow you just go to the front and it's all done.
Yep. Well, it's what we've all wanted. We've all wanted stuff that's geared for us, and now with all the stuff going on, well, we'll get to the story, the big story that I'm calling the shit storm. Excuse my French.
But, oh my goodness. Now there goes our rating in the iTunes store.
Yeah, I know. Explicit. No, we're explicit. Yeah, Phil, like you've never.
Yeah, Phil usually.
You're the worst offender.
Oh, fuck yeah. You.
Whoa. Hey now.
Oh, God.
Hey, listen. I saw this story that I wanted to kind of just touch base on. And I'm sure the startup, and I'm not familiar with the players in this startup, but this startup called Simple, which is a Minnesota startup here. Did you see they got accepted into an accelerator program in Omaha?
So, yeah, and I'm really pissed off at Omaha.
Now we're losing people to the Valley. Now we're losing people to Omaha.
Well, I used to tell people that the Twin Cities was a small Chicago, and I was corrected many times saying, no, the Twin Cities is a big Omaha.
Not a lot. That from a guy who's lived in Omaha.
There's nothing wrong with Omaha.
From a guy who lived in Omaha, let me tell you that Minneapolis is not a big Omaha. Kansas City is a big Omaha.
Okay.
Because, Minneapolis is probably more of a big Des Moines. But there is a definite cowtown feel in Omaha, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, because both of the Kansas Cities and the Omahas were very much railroad towns. So there's a different vibe there. But I was on the phone with some friends in Omaha, and actually had coffee with a woman who heads up a interactive firm there, Peggy Zier, with a company called Wave Interactive. This last week, and Omaha has grown in leaps and bounds just probably in the last five, six years. They've become a much larger city. They've become a much more vital city. They've also, they've really made a conscious effort in modernizing the town. They've built along the riverfront. They've done a lot of work there. And, I sort of put this in discussion in here simply because of saying, God, now we're losing them to, we lost Spark over to China for their accelerator program for a while. Now we're losing Simple over to Omaha. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. No, they still remain Minnesota companies, but they've had these opportunities to grow. But you know, this is by no means to besmirch Omaha, and it's a very interesting town now.
Well, I was surprised back in 88. I was staying in Omaha. I had some business there when I was living in Chicago.
I'm sorry.
And I was going to go out and go for a run. And I walked down to the front desk and I asked the woman, I said, so, can you give me a route downtown here? And she goes, no, I can't. I said, why not? She says, well, because it's not safe to run downtown.
I thought, come on,
this is Omaha, Nebraska, for God's sakes. And she said, no, I'm sorry, I can't give. And so I walk out the front door of the hotel and there's a cop that's about four cars down. I go down. I said, hey, I've just told that I shouldn't run out here because it's not safe. And he looked at me and he goes, no, you don't want to run out here. I said, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, after 5 o'clock when everybody leaves, you don't want to be jogging down here.
Really?
And so I literally got in a car and I drove to a park that he told me to go to. And, no, seriously.
And you were immediately mugged.
Yeah, I was immediately mugged. Exactly. But it was really bad. Well, a guy I know that lives there now, really tells me that over and over and over again, he said, you would not even recognize the place.
Yeah,
in terms of people living here now downtown. And he said, it's the crime. There's hardly any crime. And so,
well, that's what happens. Omaha is this, of course, Omaha is the tax base for the entire state of Nebraska, because outside of Omaha, there's not a lot of population, except on Saturdays when the Huskers play in Lincoln. You know, then it's huge.
Yeah, then it's bumper to bumper on the freeway. Hey, listen, I need to explain to people that Phil is on a headset unusually today and is sounding really tired. And it's mainly because it's high school graduation party weekend and his son is having one, and you got a whole house full of people. And
yeah, a house full of people. I'm sort of trying to stay quiet. You know, plus they're, you know, first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to my son, whom I'm very proud of, Sam Wilson, for graduating from the Lakeville North High School yesterday. And of course, we get lots of relatives in town. We've got parties going on. They had their big senior party last night at the high school. And so we get, they basically arrive at 10 and they're locked in until 6 in the morning.
I'll bet he's still sleeping.
About 300 kids. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I was only there until 1:30. So it's not that big a deal, but does my headset really sound bad? I'm sorry.
No. You just, okay. I mean, literally you're normally Mr. Chipper, isn't he?
Am I not chipper?
It doesn't sound chipper.
No. I don't sound chipper.
You just sound tired.
I feel chipper.
Yeah. Well, last night I did not feel chipper,
no.
nor the night before, because of dun 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 the national security shitstorm.
So what you got? You don't want you to play the sounder here. We should probably have an interest.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I was just you know, none of this stuns me because of. All the things that I've been reading about for so long, you know, in the Patriot Act, I actually read the Patriot Act, unlike a lot of the people in Congress. None of this surprises me. What I loved was the fact that it was coming to the fore. And so the first thing, of course, is the Guardian releasing the NSA collecting phone records from millions of Verizon customers. And of course, that's been going on now since probably 2007. And then the next thing was this U.S. intelligence mining data from 9 U.S. internet companies, and which they're all the companies, Apple and Google and Facebook and others, are all denying, you know, any involvement with direct access to the server, to their servers. But coincidentally, all their statements are almost identical in terms of their denials. So,
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You know, and none of us like to be threatened by invasion of our privacy. But, you know, just 10, 15 minutes ago, we were talking about how great it is that retailers can tailor their message to you based on your data and your online information. I find it interesting that everybody's like, oh, gosh, well, the government is using all this big data to track me.
Well, but that's voluntary.
Retailers been doing shit like that forever.
Yeah, but that's
no, I know. But retail, it's voluntary. You don't have to bring your smartphone into to Target. You don't have to use their Wi-Fi network. You don't have to use their app. That's a choice.
Yeah.
And when you make that choice, then you give them, you know, the access to be able to do that.
No, wait,
and in return, they give you more customized shopping experience.
Yes, but I'm saying that even surfing, you know, doing a search on Google, the data that is tracked by what you're doing on Google, that's not voluntary, Tim. You're not saying don't track me on Google.
Well, it is. And you can go into your Google settings and you can turn that off.
But who does that? Who does that? Nobody does
that.
Well,
some of us do.
Yeah. Like I have ad blockers on my browsers.
If you're logged in, on Google or Bing or anybody, all that stuff is being aggregated against your profile. So Google knows a ton of stuff, you know, about you.
So Phil, let me ask you this question. And I love that. I wanted somebody to play devil's advocate here, but, so let me ask you this. So, if you had to make a very sensitive phone call to someone, would it be okay that, maybe this person's under investigation for something. Would it be okay for the government to know that you made that call and potentially be able to go in and analyze the data within that call? Now they claim they're not doing what's in the call, that it's only metadata about the call, like who's calling whom and so forth.
Yeah. I've got this bridge for sale in New York, by the way.
Oh, cool. Believe that. Well, but it's, I mean,
this is not a revelation. This has just come out, and the timing of this is kind of interesting, but
well, that's what I think too. I think there's no coincidence.
This has been brewing below the surface in conspiracy kind of communities for months now, especially as that new data center in Utah gets finished.
Right.
That's the one where apparently, and of course this is all conjecture, that they're supposed to be recording every phone call made in the United States and transcribing with machines every phone conversation.
Right.
And then using their sophisticated search algorithms to search through it for terrorists and other people breaking the law. So this thing only gets worse if they don't, you know, stop the program.
Right. Well, and as I've said many times, you know, Obama can, like he does, he comes out and he's talking about that the surveillance programs are legal and limited, which they are under the Patriot Act. And that's great. Okay. But the national security letters, the secrecy related to the FISA court that's supposed to be giving warrants and so forth. All this stuff is in place. I don't worry that Obama's going to become a fascist, and maybe even the next president may or may not be a fascist, but all the skids are greased now. You know, after the Boston bombings, that was martial law. And it's not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm a lay student of history, and I have ancestors and even I still have relatives in Germany who you know, are the grandsons and granddaughters of people who lived through the 30s and the run-up of Nazi Germany. And so I don't worry about the Obama or maybe even the next president, but what about the one after that? Because all this stuff's in place, you know, the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment for reasonable search and seizures are already
compromised. Some of this was also in place before Obama got in, you know, President Obama got in.
All of it was, actually. Yeah. But this has been changing since Truman, really. I mean, and that whole military industrial complex thing that Eisenhower was talking about.
Right.
So this has been a long, long process to get where we're at. And yeah, now it's to a place where, for national security, they're doing things that are making people very uncomfortable, and your personal data is out there and the government, you know, is using it.
Yeah.
So, and I, as technology gets better, this only gets worse from a privacy perspective.
Well, so what I thought was interesting is I was listening to Minnesota Public Radio this morning, and on NPR, there was a conversation, you know, a discussion about this exact gigantic issue that's going on right now. And one of the Obama administration people were, she was talking about the controversy behind this and so forth. And you know, did bring up what you said, Phil, about voluntary social media use, because the president had said that as well. But the kicker with the whole thing was that what they wanted to track were things like calls from Yemen. So let's say there's a call from Yemen to the U.S. and then a call from the U.S. to Yemen, you know, the same people, that they'd want to be able to know that and be able to track that and be able to follow up on it. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. So if I, for example, were to just launch a call right now to Yemen, does that mean that now I'd be under suspicion of collaborating with terrorists?
Yeah, probably, because everybody in Yemen is a terrorist, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, but, you know, there's a guy that I know well, Maher Akeem, and Maher worked with me at Lawson. We bought his third startup company, and he's a professor now in Qatar. He had a startup that didn't work out and took this gig, and they're coming back here for the summer. Well, he's got family in Syria, and he's on Skype with them all the time. And mm-hmm. So does that mean he's under surveillance? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Probably. Yeah.
I mean, all the public statements have been that, you know, they were looking at foreign nationals. So, I would imagine that if you're calling into a war zone like Syria or whatever, that, yeah, they would be tracked in some sense.
The big concern that I have too is you know, the U.S. Postal Service, you know, does this mean now that the NSA is going to start tracking letters, or maybe it's already gone. Maybe this has already happened.
Well, no, it's even more insidious than that. I think that they're trying, you know, the government is trying to bankrupt the Postal Service and then put it in private hands. And then it'll be UPS and FedEx that will give the government whatever they want.
Yeah.
So right now the U.S. Postal Service is, I think, operating completely separately. And it is in this weird position where it's regulated by the government, but not necessarily 100% supported by the government. So they're sort of, you know, letting them out to dry at this stage, but they're not able to do the things they need to do to be competitive with private companies in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like at some point we will not have a postal service, that it'll be replaced.
So
it will be outsourced to UPS and FedEx and whoever else, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and people when that happens, they're able to go in. The government is and much more easily, I think, get the whatever they want from that stream of information.
Yeah. Well, I've been asked by people because I've been having conversations about this with friends and family, and people have asked me, so what can I do? And we've talked about Tor and Onion, you know, the Onion servers and doing a virtual private network and yada, 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 all of which is fine, except you can still find out the originating IP address. But if you care about what's inside your phone, your text, your email, et cetera, you might want to consider a service from a guy who actually was almost brought up for treason, Phil Zimmerman, when he released Pretty Good Privacy, which was an encryption protocol that came out, I don't know if you guys remember, but probably in the 80s, maybe early 90s.
Yeah, I think it was early 90s.
Early 90s, and it was released, and somebody somewhere put it on a server so that it got out into the hands of other countries, and it was considered munitions by the federal government. And so one thing led to another, and they ultimately ended up proving that, you know, Phil Zimmerman's folks proved that he had nothing to do with the placement of it on this server and so forth. So he got away, you know, he got out of it. But they've created this product called Silent Circle, Global Encrypted Communications. And so if you really do care about what's inside your messages and you don't want somebody listening to your phone calls or reading your text messages or your email, this is an opportunity for you. It's not cheap, but, you know, especially with companies. I mean, if I was a corporation, well, I am a corporate, we are a corporation, but a larger one than just the couple handfuls of people that are involved. And you wanted to protect things, you bet I'd be using encryption services and secure networks and so forth. Cause I don't want somebody hacking and stealing my stuff. right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But the government will still be able to search through that stuff probably at some level, you know?
Well, and that's one of the things that Wired Magazine talked about in that article on the Utah data center, was that that the NSA was archiving all that, because even AES and more advanced encryption would be able to be broken. And the NSA is working on quantum computers, whether or not it's arguably they already have one or have the capability, but quantum computers will be able to crack pretty much any encryption that's out right now. So that's scary.
Well, that's happy news.
Yeah.
So let's segue into some happier news for photographers at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay. They all got shit canned.
Yeah. Well, why I put this in here is that the reporters, you know, now have to pick up the slack, and you know, they're going to go through iPhone, you know, training. So they're going to use iPhones to replace their professional photographers.
Great. Now we're going to get all these Instagram filters on them.
Yeah. I'll bet that what happens here is that, you know, the photographers, I'm sure that were on staff, and I think there were something like 30 or so. It was a huge expense, and not everything that's in the paper needs to be like a professional photo anyway. Maybe the cover and, you know, a few features and things like that. But for the most part, most of the photos don't need to be that great.
Right.
You know, right. Because city council meeting, right? I mean, yeah, professional versus a reporter that's covering it anyway. He takes a couple snaps, you know. So I can see why they're doing it. They probably, you know, will retain freelancers to do the stuff that they need to do. And maybe some of these people that were just laid off will be those freelancers. But this just shows that, you know, things are rapidly changing in the newspaper business. And, you know, it's, if you're a reporter, if you're a photographer, you need to be a multitasker. You need to do more than just, you know, take pictures.
Well, you know, it was interesting because once I went and saw a National Geographic photographer that I thought was awesome down at the State Theater, and he was presenting, you know, on his life in photography and so forth. And one of the things he said at the end, a young woman got up and asked a question. She said, you know, gosh, how can I break into the business? And he basically gave her a reality check, which was, you know, I need to tell you that it's probably unlikely that you're going to end up with a job like mine. And here's why. And he told about being called to a meeting at National Geographic in Washington, D.C., where all the photographers were brought together, and the head of National Geo basically said, look, we can no longer afford to send you guys all over the world for months at a time. And oh, by the way, going forward, not only are you going to have to shoot digitally for those of you still on film, but you're going to have to shoot B-roll video.
Right.
So you're going to have, you know, this kind of a video camera, and we'll issue that. And a lot of the photographers said, nah, no thanks. We're done. And, you know, if they were older. But to your point, Tim, that's, you know, that's why I put a link in here about MacBreak Weekly. Because Andy Anatko, who writes for the Chicago Sun-Times, really put this thing into perspective. But one of the things everybody agreed on the podcast was the fact that in today's world, you have to be a multimedia delivery person. You can't just write or you can't just shoot or you can't just do video. You've got to do all of it. And you got to do a little editing on the side. Maybe you got to do webcasts and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you probably have to post it up in their CMS as well. So, I mean, you have to do a lot of different things as opposed to the way it used to be, where you took photos and someone developed them, and then you went through them and you picked which ones would be enlarged and someone did those for you. And then they go into the copy room. You know, it was very segmented. Now, I think the creator has to do a lot more and has to take it further in the production process.
Yep. No, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, well, and with the there was a post recently about the how much better the iPhone photography is getting, the camera in it and the software from each subsequent generation and where it is today. And so you can expect that the next iteration of the phone will have even better photography And it's just going to keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
So, well, and one other thing, this is really, really an aside, but there was an article about a graphene-based overlay for a chip. Graphene is that one atom thick lattice that's superconducting, so you can put it into fabrics or on surfaces, things like that, and basically build connectivity into a material. And this thing will increase the light reception capability of phone chips by 1,000%. So I can imagine even cheap cameras and phone cameras specifically at some point in the not too distant future will have substantially better low light capability. And that's really what I want. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know what these flash anymore?
Phil's camera and its HTC One has very good low light capability.
Yeah, it's been a great camera.
Really?
I really like it a lot.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like the camera, the best camera that's out in the phone right now.
Yeah.
You like it, Phil?
I like it a great deal. That was one of the reasons I was so anxious to upgrade.
Really?
Just to get rid of that awful camera and that Evo that I had.
So. Have you shot a lot with it?
You know, not a lot, but a lot more than I used to with the other camera. So, I mean, that alone was worth the price of admission for me.
Well, speaking of cameras.
And we were.
You have some more information about the HTC.
Oh, the One Mini, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks like your phone there, Phil.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
the right size and everything.
It's the right size. It goes back to the right size. But again, it's, you know, that ship has sailed. I'm not going to go back to
no buyer's remorse.
Huh? No buyer's remorse. No, I'm good.
Well, how long have you had your phone?
Well, probably been a little over a month now, isn't it? Five weeks, six weeks.
Okay. So, yeah, they give you, what, 14 days to return it?
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes, I believe, is what it is. You know, okay. Outside the store. Well,
all right.
Yeah, the carrier gives you like 14 days, but if you buy it, like I bought mine at Costco, they give you 90 days and you can just bring it back and exchange it for whatever you want.
Wow.
Interesting.
You're cool.
Really?
Yeah. So I may go look at this HTC One Mini if they carried it for T-Mobile and, you know, you never know.
Nice.
Although I like my Nexus 4 a lot and I've adjusted to the size.
Yes. Same here.
Yeah. Well, Google is continuing to push the envelope.
Yeah, this is a fantastic app, by the way. I couldn't believe how much better it is.
The new Gmail app.
Yeah, what did you think, Phil?
I like it a lot. Yeah, it's very nice. I immediately eliminated the images of the on the left side of the screen. It really got a little crowded for me, but I like it a lot.
Well, you know, they have one for iOS. And, you know, they've done the same thing with the tabbed interface for primary social promotions, updates, forums. And I really like it a lot, except on the tab in the browser client, when you've got these tabs across the top, it doesn't show you how many are in each tab. So that's sort of disconcerting.
It does on Android and it does on the web.
Mm-hmm.
It does not on the web. Well, it does when they come in, but you know, before it would show how many emails were available in your primary, and I mean you could see them, right? They'd all be listed at the top, and you don't have that ability anymore. It's just like anything else. It makes a change, so you gotta sort of adapt.
I'm looking at it right now, and yeah, it's exactly the same as it was. So, I mean, promotions. So if I'm not looking at that tab, it shows that I have two in promotions.
Well, no, I understand that. But okay, so here's an example. In social right now, I have four emails that did show in the social tab. And then when I clicked on the social tab and then went back to the primary tab, I didn't look at the emails. So all four of them are still there. But now the indicator is no longer indicating that there are four unread emails in the social tab.
Right. Once you click on it, it clears that. Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
You're right.
That's the only thing I don't like. If they could change that, that'd be awesome. But I don't think they can because this is all done with JavaScript. So once you'd have to refresh reload the browser, I suppose. But anyway, I know it's a nit and most people aren't going to care. And
yeah, no, so. I think this is a huge update to the Gmail for Android and is changes the way you look at email on your mobile device.
Yeah, really. Right. I really like the Android. Oh,
can I tell you guys something really quick? So
no,
my dad, so my dad had the most awesome phone number of life. And he had the phone number for 38 years. No, 40 years. And so
it was.
I'm not going to tell. Yeah, right. I'm going to.
Well,
gonna.
I mean, you can't say it's the most awesome phone number and then not tell us, you know, as a clue. I mean, did it spell something out? Did it?
Well, well, the last four digits are 5454. And the prefix is the same. You know, or this prefix is the same number. So, I mean, it's really a cool number. Anyway. The point is that my older sister wanted to port that from CenturyLink to her Comcast phone down in Burnsville. And she started the process and they ended up ultimately saying, you have to send in your birth certificate, a copy of your driver's license and a copy of your dad's death certificate. And she calls me and says, okay, Steve, I know you know all this stuff up backwards and forwards. What do you think I should do? Cause I don't really want to do it. And I said, Nancy, I wouldn't do it. Because CenturyLink uses third parties. You have no idea where that stuff's going to end up. And so one thing led to another. And finally, she just said, look, I'm just too busy at work. Just, I don't want to do it, but I know you don't want to lose the number. And I said, yeah. So I go over to the AT&T store. I buy a cheap Go phone for $20. I have the guy start the porting process. The number gets ported by Tuesday morning. And by Thursday morning, I had the number ported to Google Voice. And so now that's my Google Voice number.
Oh.
And the whole adventure was $41 and change. And it took me about a week to do the whole thing. But that's, you have to have it on a mobile device to get it to Google Voice. But now I have the number and that's my Google Voice number. So how cool is that? So I, you know, it's just stuff like this. I mean, I absolutely love Google and Apple and, you know, a lot of these companies hate Facebook, but it's stuff like, boy,
now you say you hate Facebook yet. I'm seeing more and more posts from you in the Facebook timeline.
Well, that's cause I set up my Twitter to post to it.
Oh, well, yeah. That's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway,
but that whole number porting thing, I mean, it's really awesome. And I wish now I'd done it with our home number. Instead, I transferred it to Ring Central to one of my digital lines and it's $5 a month. And now it's tied to a specific phone, even though I can do kind of the same thing with having simultaneous ringing. But, are you guys using the Google Voice?
Yeah,
I was, but I'm not now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Worldwide Developers Conference starts tomorrow.
It's a biggie.
No, yeah. Monday.
It's Monday.
Monday.
Yeah. I don't know if I look through this roundup from 9to5 Mac. Is there anything here that's like very compelling? I mean,
no.
There's some interesting stuff. I mean, the flat design on iOS 7 looks interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's this seems like when you go through all this stuff, will there be anything that will be like this is the blockbuster where you're going to go, wow, this is great, you know?
I don't know, but like anything else, I know we're going to have to see it first, you know, to see what they, because you can have all the conjecture you want and assumptions and all that, but I'm just going to just wait and see what it is.
It just seems like they've done what they can do, and now it's just incremental little changes here and there. And yeah, the design will be updated, but I'm not sure if any of this will be that exciting. Even the radio service that they're supposedly going to announce.
Yeah,
that just seems like it's me too. You know, if you've got Spotify or RDO or Google Music or what have you, you know, why would you need this? But I guess if you're in that Apple ecosystem, yeah, it would be kind of nice. But for if it's me, I'd rather have something like Spotify where I can use it on whatever device I have.
You know? Well, I am too, and plus I can see somebody's playlists, and mm-hmm. and so yeah, that's why I love both Spotify and Pandora. I use Pandora most of the time, but Spotify's I love it. It's great. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Apple does with this iRadio, because if it's not a game changer, then there's going to be a collective yawn.
Yeah, I think I don't know if any of this stuff is going to get anybody really excited. Hopefully there's going to be like a new Mac Pro kind of announcement thing. I think that would get people excited, especially developers. But all this other stuff, I mean, yeah, new MacBooks that have, you know, new chips in them and that kind of
thing. Well, let's just remember, guys, this is a developer conference.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there.
But this has been the launch pad for the iPhone for many years, and then they moved it to the fall. So, you know, we won't see an iPhone. Hopefully, well, maybe we will. Maybe they'll surprise us with that cheap iPhone. Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe they'll do something interesting with Apple TV. I mean, that would be something if they came out and they said, hey, we're opening in the App Store for Apple TV. Well, that would be huge for developers and would kind of change your view of that device.
Right, right.
You know? So well, hopefully something like that happens. We'll have to see on Monday.
Well, in this AirDrop functionality, and so if you've never used it on the Mac, it's great as long as you're on the same Wi-Fi subnet. So you got to be sitting right next to somebody and make sure you're on the same Wi-Fi. If they open up AirDrop on their computer and you do it on your computer, you can just drop a file on their photo or their icon, and they can accept it and receive the file. And this is one of the things that I love about iPhoto on the Mac and on the iPad and on the iPhone, is that you can easily send your files from device to device. But what's interesting is you can't do it with Bluetooth. You have to do it with Wi-Fi. And I think maybe it has to do with the fact that the next generation of Bluetooth is not built into any of these devices yet, the low power Bluetooth. So maybe that transfer process takes way, way, way too much battery. And so, which is my suspicion based on my own experience, but I haven't really measured it. But so there's some cool stuff I think that will be good, but we'll see.
Yep.
So
I'm, guardedly optimistic. But if 9to5 Mac is nailed exactly what's going to happen here, it's kind of like, okay, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
not that exciting.
Evolutionary, not revolutionary.
Yeah, they need to really do something to kick up interest. Get that watch out or something, you know?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Nobody Relax. Wears watches anymore.
I think we need to have you know, some sort of thing that makes it easier for the government to follow what we're doing on.
Yeah.
iOS 10. Maybe that's what they're going to do.
That's probably what they're going to put in there.
Maybe you can do the opt out of being spied on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's like
to be called iSpy.
iSpy.
Yeah.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Okay.
Always classy.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. So
don't drone me, bro.
The big security tip is
if
you are running Mac OS X or yes. OS X on your
which
Mac,
of course we all are,
which we all are, and many people that I know are.
Yes.
There is an update available that will protect you against a new malware attack. Would really encourage you to run it, but that brings up the larger issue of the fact that, I'll say it probably every week, but update all the time, update apps, update the OS, just run them. And I know
just run most that app store.
Well, most people, and my son is probably the worst offender, and I always chastise him every time I see this, but, he'll have like 97 browser tabs open. And he'll have other apps open and so forth, and he'll have updates. And I say, oh my God, you haven't run that OS X update? Or, you know, that came out like 3 months ago. Well, I don't want to quit everything. It's like you can have it relaunch.
You have to reboot sometime.
Come on. Yeah, I know. But a lot of people are like that. They just put their machine to sleep and they've got all this stuff open, and they don't know about the OS X capability that you can toggle. to relaunch all your apps and browser tabs and so forth. But so please run your updates, everyone.
That was it. That was your security tip of the week.
Yeah, well, it was about the OS 10 update specifically.
So is this the 10.8.4?
It's kind of more evolutionary than revolutionary, wasn't it?
It is.
I see it. Reboot required.
It is. Well, there was kind of a security tip, which was...
You're going to have to kick this up a notch.
Well, but there was a security tip with Silent Circle. I mean, you Phil Wilson, would be bitch-slapping me if I was focusing on... on telling everybody about how to set up Tor and servers, Tor access to Onion servers and all that.
I would
maybe I should do that. I don't know.
It's all right. I like the simple updates.
Okay.
Listen, upcoming events.
Well, that IO festival.
Last day of the IO festival.
Yeah, his last day is today, and. Yeah. The Spark Homecoming Party Wednesday.
Anyone
the
12th? Going to that? You going, Phil?
Is that full?
I don't know if we'll be able to go to. Yes, it is sold out. But,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Though I am a backer.
Yes, you are. So, and the WordPress MSP is going on at the Nerdery. You know, I've noticed, Tim, that there is a lot less activity on the Google group, the WordPress MSP Google group. And is that just the time of the year? The summer?
Probably. Yeah, okay. Probably. Okay. Yeah, I get daily digests and there's a few things here and there. But,
yeah, I do too, but there used to be long missives, you know, people would really jump into discussions and
I think a lot of that has shifted to the WordPress Wednesday thing at Coco downtown.
Okay.
Greenwich Chase.
Yep.
So a lot of those discussions that were happening in the Google group now are happening live.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay. Oh, gotcha. The Twin Cities Drupal Camp is coming up on July 18th. I know that's a ways out, but
for those of you that don't like WordPress,
well,
and if you don't like WordPress, you're into Drupal.
Well, yeah, probably and so. you know what though, it's they each have their own strengths and weaknesses,
right?
One of the things that I adore,
sort of like Mac OS X and Linux, you know,
yeah,
right.
Well, to a degree, but the thing that I love about
I wish I had a dollar for every time I said that, Tim.
No, I think that WordPress is very much like Mac OS X. There's a lot of stuff that just works. You know, there's a huge community and whatever. And if you want to just do your own thing, Linux is the way to go. And right. Drupal is sort of the same in the same boat. It can be very, very complicated. And it's a very deep content management system.
Well, so I just had a client who basically has OEM'd a... Drupal-based web application for a network site where everything's all tied together based on you as an individual. You log in and all this stuff is connected. So you have a dynamic dashboard built and you can have private messaging and all this stuff and access control to specific files and discussions and all kinds of really complicated connections. And my clients simply wanted to have a front end that was easy to use and easy to publish and have great SEO. And the bottom line is he hired us to build him a front end that was had the same look and feel. But then when somebody wanted to log in, now they click the login and they go to the Drupal site and they log in and now they're in it. But he's got a separate front end and we did it in WordPress, simply because we could do it 10 times faster, a hell of a lot cheaper than the network company could build it. And it made a lot of sense. But again, WordPress can't do those kinds of complicated permissions and access control like Drupal can.
Right. Yep.
So there's a trade-off with everything, right?
Absolutely.
And the timing of this couldn't be better. That cybersecurity summit in October. Wish it was earlier, but.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about the Utah data center.
Think so?
Maybe so.
Well, because it'll be open then. So then there'll be lots of nice leaks coming out of whatever top secret thing they're doing.
You're right.
It'll probably be just like that show Person of Interest, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. Well, Mr. Wilson, have a great weekend adventure with your
I'm looking forward
boy.
To it. Yep, and, looking forward to it. You know, if anybody wants to come over to Lakeville and help me put up a tent, woohoo!
Gotcha. All right.
Well, listen, there'll be a lot more stuff next week, and we'll talk about it on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, guys.
Have a good week.